If you would, please turn your copy of God's Word to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. We're going to hear from verses 2 through 4 this morning. But I want to read the whole chapter for the sake of context. 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 1. This is God's holy word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you have become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia, For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Amen. This is God's word. Before we hear it proclaimed to us, let us go and again ask God's blessing upon it again. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts that you should make us the body of Christ, that you should make us the gathered congregation of believers in this place. What a wondrous privilege that we should be here on this day, on this morning, to hear Christ, to hear his voice, to hear his word proclaimed to us. And so we ask your blessing. We ask for your Spirit's help, your Spirit's aid as we hear, as we listen, as your word enters our ears. May we give heed to it. May we be those who hear your word, who are also doers of it. We ask, Father, that in this preaching you would fill our hearts with gratitude today through your Holy Spirit. Because of the work of Christ, we pray. Amen. Have you ever overheard a compliment? Maybe you were at work and you heard a boss speaking to a coworker, and his boss said something good about the work that you had done. Maybe as a spouse at home, you heard your spouse talking to one of the children. The children said something nice about something you've done, and you get to overhear that. It can be wonderfully encouraging, and it should produce thanksgiving in your heart, not for what you've done, but what God has done in you that you're able to work or to do those things in your home. It should produce thanksgiving. In our passage this morning, Paul and Silas and Timothy are letting the Thessalonians know that they've been bragging to God about them. They get to overhear the ambassador of Jesus Christ on earth, the Apostle Paul, telling the King, Jesus Christ on his throne, that he's ecstatic about them. And not them and who they are and what they have done, but that God has planted a church. This is a wonderful thing, and it drives Paul and Silas and Timothy to thanksgiving in prayer. And this is recorded for them and sent to them in this letter for their encouragement. He wants them to know that he gives thanks to God for what God has done in their midst, so that they can have this same perspective of thankfulness that God has planted a church. so that they will view themselves not just as Thessalonians living in the city, not just as individual believers, but as people gathered together who are trusting in Christ for their good, their well-being, their rescue from sin. And they have gathered together as one church in that place. So they are to give thanks. They are to follow the example here, giving thanks for God making them a church. So here in chapter 1, here in starting in verse 2, we have the first of these three sections that make up the first half of the letter running through chapters 1, 2, and 3. These three sections are divided into thanksgiving. And so we have the first section on thanksgiving here starting in verse 2. All of this, along with the second half of the letter, is driving to this main point that God has made them a gathering of believers. And so they are to live holy lives of thanksgiving to God. God has made them a gathering of believers. And so they are to live holy lives of thanksgiving to God. That's the point of the whole letter. Now, before we get back into verses 2, 3, and 4, I need to make a few notes here. We're going to be talking about election, or speaking briefly of it. We're going to hear about election. We're also going to be hearing about good works. So I just want to refresh our thinking on the doctrine of election, the doctrine of good works, so that we have those things in the back of our mind as we work through the passage. So let me give you three reasons why I think you ought to believe or hold the doctrine of election. First of all, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The word itself is in the Bible. That should make it a little easier. I know it doesn't, but it's there. It's in the Bible. And what I mean by that is the Bible starts this way. Adam did not create himself. God chose Adam and put Adam in the garden. Abraham did not decide that he wanted some land over on the other side of the Middle East. God chose Abraham and brought Abraham out of Ur and led him to the promised land and said, "This is yours and it belongs to those who come after you." And think lastly then in this first point of Israel. Israel did not choose to become a nation. They were slaves living in Egypt. God chose them for himself, brought them out of Egypt and made them a nation that belonged to him. If you want to read more about that, Deuteronomy 7 is all about God's choosing love of Israel. So it's in the Bible. It also fits, the election also fits with who God is and how salvation works. God is strong and we are weak. God is strong and we are weak. We are so weak that we cannot even come to faith in Christ. God has to come in his strength, his power, his might, the sovereign moving of his Holy Spirit to make us alive. And all of that begins with the Father choosing people for himself. The doctrine also humbles the pride of man. It humbles the pride of man and exalts the glory of God. I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. God chose his people for himself. And that's all to his glory. The third reason why I think you ought to hold the doctrine of election is because it's so very helpful in the Christian life. The point of the doctrine of election is not for us to win arguments with other Christians. The point of the doctrine of election is not for us to sit back on our heels, as it were, and just coast in the Christian life. The doctrine of election is for comfort in the midst of difficulty. The terrible things of this life wash in upon us. What is our comfort? What is our security? The Father has loved me for all eternity. He's not going to change his mind now. It's for our comfort. It's for our security. The point of the doctrine of election is to rely on God. It's to shift our focus off of ourselves and back on God and who God is and what God has done. Well, I just wanted to cover it briefly. If you have any questions on the doctrine of election, talk to Pastor Steve. No, please feel free to come and talk to me later. I'd be happy to talk with you more about the doctrine of election. Okay, good works. A brief note on good works. We just heard in this letter from Paul and Silas and Timothy of work and labor and patience going on there in the church in Thessalonica. These are good things. These are good works that the Christians are doing there in that church. So we need to keep this in mind. Good works are never, never, never good enough to earn favor from God. That's not what Paul and Silas and Timothy are talking about. These good works did not make them Christians. These good works did not bring them into the church. These good works did not earn favor with God. They do not save them. However, we have to keep this clear in our thinking. Those who have God's favor, those who have the rescue from sin, the rescue from the punishment of God, will do good works. They will work, they will labor, and they will have patience. And God loves good works. He loves when we work according to His law. He loves good works. Okay, so we need to keep these two things in mind as we work through these things, not get them jumbled up. But let's come back to the passage, verses 2, 3, and 4. Now, it's so very easy for us to lose our perspective on what's going on here on Sunday morning. We see one another on Sunday. Sometimes we might see one another during the week. We get glimpses of one another's lives in our conversations. We, here today, this morning, need to overhear Paul and Silas and Timothy to hear what they say to God about the Thessalonians. We need to have our perspective changed so that we will be encouraged more and more about what is going on here at Emmanuel. This is what will drive us to thanksgiving. So the main point of these three verses is God has built a church. Whatever else was going on in Thessalonica, the work, the labor, the effort that went into it, God built a church there. This should result in thanksgiving. And that's what it results in. Paul and Silas and Timothy are rejoicing. They're thankful to God for what He has done. Now, look at verses 2, 3, and 4. Because I want to show you how the structure works and the three points that we're going to have in the sermon. It's when, how, and why. When do they give thanks to God? Always for you all. Whenever they're making mention of them in their prayers. So whenever they're praying, whenever they're mentioning the Thessalonians, they are giving thanks to God. So how are they giving thanks to God? By remembering. By remembering without ceasing. And so it goes on. Why are they doing this? When, how, and why? They're doing it because they know. They know, beloved brethren, your election by God. So they have the love of God and they have been chosen by God. That's why they are giving thanks. So when, how, and why? So God builds His churches, and that should drive us to thanksgiving. So how should we react when God builds a church? First point, then, we should thank God for our church. When we are praying. I did mention when we started the series that there were some very basic things here. When you're praying, give thanks to God for your church. Now notice who they're giving thanks to. This isn't just I feel thankful. God brought this church together. It's an opportunity then for the Thessalonians to think of themselves in their thanksgiving to God as a whole, as a gathered body of Christ. An opportunity to think of each other in their thankfulness. God has given them good things. Good things. So always, over and over, they are thankful for the Thessalonians. They don't have concerns about the Thessalonians that are constantly throwing them off their prayer as if somehow they would just cease to be a church. And so they return thanks to God. As I mentioned briefly, it's not just an emotion. It's not just that Paul and Silas and Timothy feel grateful. They express their thanksgiving to the one who has caused this building of a church there in Thessalonica. What does this mean for us then? It means that we should continue to work at giving thanks for our church over and over and over. We should have a perspective of thankfulness to God in our prayers. And we need to all be coming together in the prayer meeting to return thanksgiving to God for our church. If Paul and Silas and Timothy are giving thanks to God, we also ought to be gathering together to give thanks to God for building this church. So times of prayer are the perfect time to give thanks to God for His church, for the particular local church. And we should give thanks to God by remembering in our praying, Remembering the effects of grace, remembering the good that one person has done for the other, giving thanks for the love that one member has shown to another member. This remembering is focused here on their good works. These are gifts from God. God has given them grace in their hearts, His favor, His merciful kindness upon them, so that they are responding in mercy and kindness to one another. We see, if I can put that in air quotes, we see faith and love and hope only in its acting out. It's acting out in working, in laboring, and in enduring. How do you see someone's faith? They work. How do you see someone's love? They labor. They toil. They strive. They deny themselves for the other person. How do we see that someone has hope in Jesus Christ? They endure. They don't give up. Their faith is in Jesus Christ, looking to Him, receiving rescue from Jesus Christ. And so they love one another, seeking holiness in the other because they have been loved by Jesus Christ. They patiently endure because their hope, that is their sure confidence, is in the return of Jesus Christ. These are the good works that have been going on there in Thessalonica, for which Paul and Silas and Timothy returned thanksgiving to God, because God has built a church there. So we must be a people that serve one another, not to get something in return, not to be seen for our good works, but out of a heart of gratitude to God, out of thanksgiving in our heart for what God has done here in our church. We should work and labor for the good of one another. We must be a people who seek holiness in one another, in our prayers for one another, in the things that we can do for one another. If you hear that someone needs help, looking for ways to help that person, not just so that they will have an ease to the difficulty, but so that the holiness will be produced in their lives. We must be a people who do not give up, who continue in the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, knowing that that is sure and certain. So we should thank God for our church in times of prayer. We should do this by remembering the good things that God has accomplished in our midst. And thirdly, we should thank God for our church because we know that He chose us in love. Why do we give thanks? Because He has loved us with a sovereign, electing, choosing love. They only exist there in Thessalonica as a church because God chose them. If a New Testament church exists, if there's a church where the gospel is being proclaimed, where the believers are gathering together, if that exists, it only exists because God chose those people to be His people. The point here is order. The order that things take place. Something happening means that something else happened before that, that produced that. Let me give you an illustration. If you're driving down the road, I'm going to use pecan trees because we live in Texas. Might use something else somewhere else. If we were talking about Thessalonica, you would probably use grapevines, right? So maybe it's walking down the Roman road in Thessalonica and you see grapevines. If you're driving down the road in Texas and you see pecan trees, and you see pecans growing on the pecan trees, and you see those pecan trees growing in straight lines in that field, what's your assumption? Someone planted those trees. Someone in particular probably loved those trees and chose those trees and planted those trees so that they would bear fruit in that field. In fact, we would think you were silly if you said, look at those random pecan trees that just happened to grow in that field. No. When God brings a people together and orders them as a church of Jesus Christ, it is because he chose his people. And he brought them together by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church of the Thessalonians exists because God chose them. They didn't choose God. They didn't choose to become Christians all on their own in and of themselves. God chose them. God planted that church. God built that church. So they exist as a church because God loves them. They are an assembly, a gathering, a family in the Holy Spirit who are loved by the Father. Who are loved by the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Paul says something similar to the church in Ephesus. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. It was in love that he determined that his people would be his people. And it wasn't just that they would be chosen to be a people. They would be adopted. They would be brought into the family of God in such a way that they would be called sons. That they already, in salvation, in the coming of the Holy Spirit and regenerating their hearts, they already have right and title to all the blessings of heaven. They are already heirs who have received the inheritance. And they will receive the fullness of it when Christ returns. And all of this is according to the purpose of the will of the Father. In love, the Father determined us for an adoption, a bringing out of the world to make us his own, as sons, as heirs of the blessings of heaven in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. This is why Paul and Silas and Timothy are rejoicing. This is why Paul and Silas and Timothy are thankful God built a church. We must think of ourselves not just as individually elect. We must think of ourselves as God's elect people gathered together in a local church. In a local church. We must think of this church, this body, as a local expression, a small scale version, if you will, of God's people. It's so very easy for us to live in this culture, to think in as an individual. We must be thinking of ourselves as part of this body, part of the local church. Since it is God who builds a church, his people ought to give him thanks. Since it is God who builds the church, his people ought to give him thanks. Paul and Silas and Timothy give their thanks to God because he built that church there in Thessalonica. And they want the Thessalonians to overhear their prayers, their thanksgiving, so that they will be encouraged in who they are as a church. We should have this perspective about our church. And when we do, we will give thanks. We will have gratitude in our hearts. When we pray, we will pray in thanksgiving to God for our church. We will do this by remembering the good that God has accomplished in our midst by his grace and his grace alone. And we will do this because we know that God has chosen us to be here in this church. It's his doing. It's his work. We can never fully express that thanksgiving as we ought. It will always be mixed. It will always fail to come to the fullness of what it ought to be. There will always be sin, some complaining, some ingratitude mixed in our thanksgiving. But none of what we have heard in verses 2 and 3 and 4 depend upon us. It's their rejoicing, Paul and Silas and Timothy, it's their rejoicing, their thanksgiving for what God has already done. Even the thanks that we owe to God is received in Christ Jesus for His sake. He is the one who is always and perfectly thankful and perfectly expressed that thanks to the Father. That perfect gratitude, that perfect thankfulness is given to us when we believe in Jesus Christ. It's credited to us. It's accounted to us. The Father treats us as if we are always thankful as we ought to be. Jesus was condemned as a murmurer and a complainer and one who is ungrateful so that we could receive the riches of heaven in this life and forevermore. So, believer, have your perspective shaped by this prayer. Have your perspective shaped by this prayer. Think about your church in this way. Think about your church as a member of your church. Think about your church where you are a member by remembering the good works that God has done in your midst. Think about the church where you are a member because God the Father chooses His people in love. And in your praying, in your prayers, give thanks for the church where you are a member. Let me encourage you to join us for prayer meeting. This is the time. This is the place. This is the gathering together of God's people. This is when to return thanksgiving to God and the gathering of His people for prayer. This is where we together remember His grace at work in our lives. This is where we together rejoice in His sovereign love that chose us, though we deserved only wrath. Fathers, let me encourage you to lead your families in thanksgiving for the local church in times of family worship. As you gather in family worship, let it be a frequent and regular part of your prayer to give thanks for this church. All thanksgiving springs from the realization that you have more than you deserve. This can only truly come from knowing that you deserve God's punishment. Then when you look at your own heart, your own thoughts, the things that you have done this week and this morning, you have only gotten for yourself or earned for yourself God's wrath and anger and punishment if you were to be left to yourself. But instead you have received the favor of God. His kindness, His mercy, His love. You've been made one of His people with a right to heaven, to the new heavens and the new earth. A right to the world to come, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Instead of wrath, God has given you love. Instead of the punishment of hell forever, He has given you a kingdom to be a part of, to rule over with Christ. He has given you the new world to come. All that is yours. Instead of what you have deserved and what you have earned. This is what will grow gratitude in your heart. This is what will produce thanksgiving, a desire to follow Christ, a working out of your faith. This is what will produce a laboring of love for one another, receiving what you did not deserve. This is what will hold you fast to looking forward to that day when Christ will return. Once again, from God's Word, we hear the Holy Spirit calling us to join one of His local churches. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have not joined one of His churches, the Holy Spirit says to you today, join one of Christ's churches. If you've trusted in Christ and you have not been baptized, be baptized. Follow the command of Christ. Be immersed as a public declaration of your faith in Christ. Obey your Savior and join one of His churches. If you are not trusting in Christ, then no matter how hard you try, no matter what you try to think about or feel or produce in your own heart, you will never be truly thankful. You can never be thankful in a way that's pleasing to God. It's not enough to just feel thankful. It's not enough to just look at your education or look at your skills or look at the things that you enjoy or look at the things that you own and somehow produce thankfulness. It's not enough to have a feeling. If you're not thankful to the one who has given you these things, then it's only an emotion. And it will evaporate like water on a hot Texas summer day. God has given you breath. He's given you neurons in your mind that fire when they're supposed to. He's given you the ability to get up and walk this morning. He's given you food to eat. And if you have not returned thanksgiving to God as one who is trusting in Jesus Christ, then you are ungrateful. And you have taken from God without responding to Him in gratitude. And you are storing up for yourself punishment. You are storing up for yourself wrath. Turn today. Trust in Christ today. And today you will be given abundant and rich and full blessings beyond count and beyond measure. And they will not fade away. They will not evaporate. They will last through this life and into the next. If you will but stop trusting in yourself and turn and trust in Jesus Christ and rest in Him. Make Him your well-being. Make Him your goodness. Make Him your peace and your safety. Rest in Christ today. I urge you to come. This planting of a church in Thessalonica, this planting of a church here at Emmanuel, this is the work and activity of God. Wherever God builds a true church, it is God who is at work. It is the Father's love choosing His people. It is the Son's rule establishing a local church. It is the Holy Spirit at work gathering people together out of whatever community exists where that church is planted, gathering them together where they hear the good news of rescue from sin, of rescue from punishment in Jesus Christ, the good news of God's favor upon those who do not deserve it. This is who our God is. He gives abundantly. Because in Him there is no lack. He is limitless. God cannot run out of gifts to give to His people. We serve a God who daily pours mercy all over us, richly. We serve a God who is worthy of the outpouring of our thanks in prayer. Let me close with a segment of Psalm set to lyrics. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To Him thanksgiving I will bring. With all His people I will raise my voice and of His glory sing. From God His saints' redemption came. His covenant sure no change can know. Let all revere His holy name in heaven above and earth below. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have had the privilege of hearing from Your Word this morning, of hearing of thanksgiving offered to You because You are the one who builds Your church. And so, Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would work in us, that we too would join in this prayer of thanksgiving, that we too would offer up thanksgiving in our hearts for what You have done. We thank You, Father, for this church. This was not our doing. This was Your doing. Just as You have worked in salvation, so You have gathered Your people together to make us here in this place a local expression of the rule and reign of our Lord Jesus Christ as He sits on His throne. We thank You that You have, in Your mercy and Your love, brought us here to be a part of this church. We thank You that this is not the only church. We thank You that You have churches all over Texas and all over the world where Your good news of Jesus Christ saving sinners is proclaimed Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Father, we give thanks to You, for You are the God who saves, gathers, and builds local churches. Thank You for Emmanuel. Thank You for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.